Lord wants to make us to hear joy and gladness. So we thank you, Sister Cole, for both of those selections, which are on point. And thank you, Sister Reba, for the scripture reading and for your prayer. And I tell you, if for Sister Reba, for you to share what you shared is so powerful. As God is using you where you are right now, that is so powerful for you to have gone to Psalm 103 and to have prayed what you prayed. Hallelujah. I'm just encouraged. I don't even know if I could preach behind that, but I'm going to try. Hallelujah. Because I'm just overwhelmed with emotions to think about how good God is to us. As the saints would say, as I grew up, and I was reminded of this on Thursday afternoon, when they said, I just thank God for life, for health, and for strength. Hallelujah. Just how important that is to all of us this morning in ways that maybe we take for granted. But this morning, we don't want to take it for granted. We want to take advantage of it, but not for granted, and just give God all the praise. Yeah. Give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I do greet each of you who are on the line in the spirit of love and comfort. And even for what has already been shared, today I am reminded that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, y'all, I don't know where I would be. I'm just talking about Avery's story. I don't know where I would be. And if you take into account the zip code where you was born, like I take into account the zip code where I was born and where I grew up in, the only way that I can explain the zip code that I live in now is because of my zip code that I have by grace and through faith. And we ask everybody to mute your phones. Please mute your phone cut down on some of the feedback. Thank you, brothers and sisters. And when I think about that zip code, if you just look at your keypad on your phone, and you note that for every number, you have letters associated with the number. And so this morning, I want to just share with you a zip code, and that zip code is 53787. 53787. And 53787 corresponds to J-E-S-U-S. 53787 is J-E-S-U-S. So this morning, I give him praise and God all of the glory for all of his magnificent benefits. Thank you for Psalm 103. Hallelujah. So this morning, we want to get ready for the word. And as we prepare our minds and our hearts to receive the word, I want to direct your attention. And please turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And our primary focus this morning is taken from verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6. Read with me if you can, silently on your side, but hopefully you got your Bible. Whether or not it's on your phone or your iPad or your old school and gathered in hard copy format. It says this, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. May God bless the hearers and the doers of his word and, of course, of his work. God illuminated our hearts and our minds to hear a word that will speak to us, will refresh us, will revive us, will transform us, and will unshackle us from ignorance and from misinformation by the power of the Holy Ghost. Dear family, to the ecclesia, to the body of Christ, my text, from the text this morning, I thought that I would share with you again from a subject that I shared the last time that we were able to preach before our national conference, and that title being, When Being Loved Is Not Enough, Part 2. When Being Loved Is Not Enough, Part 2. I'm saying Part 2 because we had Part 1 the last time I preached. In our text today, and more broadly, what we find in chapter 11 is the beloved disciple who outlines for us the events surrounding what he records as the seventh miracle of Christ, the last miracle of Christ. We know that Christ actually performed more than seven miracles during his earthly ministry, but John focused on seven specifically. But this last miracle, this one that involves raising Lazarus from the dead 4 days after his transition, would be the catalyst, family, the driving force to motivate the religious, political, and financial elites, the power brokers, their decision to falsely charge Christ, to secretly try him in court, to openly deny that he was a man without fault, and self-righteously gaze upon him as he is hanging on the cross. Jesus knew, y'all, Jesus knew what he was going to do as it relates to Lazarus, and when he was going to do it, long before the message came to him that the one whom he loved, his friend Lazarus, was gravely ill. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew that this was going to be the catalyst by which he would fulfill his purpose and his destiny through the cross. And John points out to us that Jesus, he had a special and intimate relationship with these sisters and brothers, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And in fact, John writes that Jesus loved them. Loved them. Yes, he did. He loved them. And this was no Atlantic Star secret lovers kind of relationship, y'all. This love was not behind the scenes and in the cut. It wasn't in the dark. It was an open love that was a part of an open and special relationship. The love that Jesus had for these two sisters and their brother was obvious. And it struck me that many around us don't know anything about what it means to have a testimony that somebody loves them, just at that very basic level, but more importantly, a testimony that Jesus loves them. I'm so glad, hallelujah, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, somebody like me, that believes on him should not perish, should not die, but shall have everlasting life. I'm so glad that I can say this morning that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This past week helped me to even appreciate even more that Jesus loves me. I experienced something while I went to Moe's to pick up some dinner for us. And And I placed my order for a set time. And I did so online. But I got to Moe's on Thomasville Road a little earlier than I had said and placed on my order. And as soon as I got there, I saw a woman, a young woman. And immediately, I knew that it was going to be here, you know, here we go again. It's going to become, I know she probably won't like it or not. She going to ask me for some money. And she was standing in line, and she was looking like she was going to order something. And I knew that something was not quite right about what was going on. And I looked at her, and I would humbly submit, just in describing her, but not defining her and not condemning her and not judging her, but just so you can get an idea, if you can, without having seen her, that she was homeless, y'all. And she was not really, for all of y'all who are familiar with Thomasville Road in Tallahassee, she's not the type of person that you are going to see in Moe's on Thomasville Road. But I see her out of the corner of my eye, and I keep on walking to the register to get our food. And as you might know, when you pre-order, you know, with Moe's, you don't have to go through the normal process and wait in line. So I went directly to the register, hoping that they had my order ready. And I'm like, Lord, I hope our food is ready, because I really don't want this young lady trying to hit me up for some money. Y'all, just to be honest with you and transparent, that's where my mind was. I just was like, man, Lord, I just don't even want to have to go through this. And I was very astute, y'all, about not making any face-to-face contact with her, because I just knew that there was some slight potential that she was going to ask me about some money. So I went directly to the register. I talked to the guy, and he said, sir, your order's not up yet. You're working on it now, but you're welcome to have a seat while we get it ready for you. So I go and I sit down at the table where you wait to get your food. And y'all know what happened, right? Y'all know what happened. She comes up, and she sits in the booth next to the table where I'm sitting. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, oh, man, here we go, Lord. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And at some point, she gets enough confidence that she asks me, can I have some money to eat because I'm hungry? And I didn't have any money on me. And so I go back to the ridge line, and I go and I get some cash. And while I'm going there, Elder Bobby, I'm struggling, right? You know, I'm struggling, like, am I going to give it this $5? And as I'm struggling about whether or not I'm going to give it a $5, the Lord moves me to take it to the next level and give her double grace. And so I give her $10. And he reminded me, Elder Bobby, yes, he reminded me that it's all vanity. Right. I mean, I know that we can be thinking about whether or not what she's going to do with the money, but you can remind me about how much I pay for cable bill. And it's all vanity. So I get the money. I get the $10 and I go back inside and I hand her the money. And she starts talking to me about her life and how she almost got a GED some years ago. And she began to advise me about if I have children that I shouldn't put them in special classes. And she talked about how her mama got mad at the people at the school that she attended for putting her in special classes. And she keeps talking and talking. And y'all, I politely just asked her, well, when you gonna go and get something to eat? Because you told me that you were hungry. And she responds to me, well, I had some ice cream earlier, so I'm kind of full. So I don't feel like eating right now. And y'all, I'm feeling like, okay, this is trickeration all over again. But the Lord reminded me that I told you it was all vanity. And he reminded me that all of us have been subjected to fundraising events where the money has been requested for one thing, and then later on you find out that it was redirected to another purpose. But yet, regardless of the young lady's intentions, I had the peace of God that passed my discernment and passed my understanding to just obey in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I feel good about what I did, and I believe that the Lord inspired me to do so. But the real significance of me sharing this story is not about the money. It's all about love. It's all about love. It's all about love. Because as I am talking to this young lady, I feel both the emotions of grief and glory all at the same time. On one hand, I'm grieving because it dawned on me that this young lady has suffered horrific things in her life because of the circumstances she was born into. She did not decide to be born. Somebody else made that decision for her to be here. Two other people made a decision for her to be here, and they made decisions to do things and not to do things that have resulted in this young lady's life to be subjected to horrific circumstances that actually requires her to live off of handouts, because those two people, her mama and her daddy, and maybe others around, didn't care to give her love. Didn't care to give her love. So while I'm sitting there on one hand, I'm grieving my spirit about seeing this young lady who is black, who is uneducated, who is impoverished. But on the other hand, I'm praising God in my spirit that Jesus loves me. In that moment, I'm praising God that he allowed me to be born with godly and loving parents and brothers and sisters and extended family, both biological and spiritual. In that moment, I am praising God because he loved me so much that he gave his begotten, only begotten son to give me, hallelujah, a new zip code, 57387, to have life and life more abundantly. Family, I hope you're hearing this with me today. Like Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Jesus loves us. He loves us. He loves us. But his love for us, just like his love for them, does not override his love for God. And verse 3 says, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, lo, behold, he whom you love is sick. The sisters, y'all, if you can appreciate this, the sisters had a therefore relationship with Jesus, a therefore relationship. Because of their special relationship and intimate knowledge of who Jesus was and what Jesus could miraculously do, they had a therefore relationship that naturally led them to reach out to him on behalf of their sick brother. Naturally to do so. It wasn't made up. It wasn't an afterthought. They knew that my brother is sick. I need to get a message to Jesus. So Martha and Mary, the good sisters, the good sisters. I know I got some good sisters on this phone call. The good sisters sent a message to Jesus. And just let me pause here to thank God for the sisters in my life. Thank God for my biological sisters, Vivian, Adelia, and Angela, who prayed. And I believe they're praying for me even now. They're praying for the little brother, Avery Dean. Thank God, too, for the sisters in all of our lives, biological and spiritual, that know the words of prayer. Not gossip, not put me down, not talk about me, not talk behind my back and smile in my face. All the while, they want to take your place, backstabbers. I'm not talking about them kind of sisters, but the sisters, hallelujah, 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 that truly know the words of prayer. Pray my strength in the Lord. Pray my strength in the Lord. I'm talking about the sisters who can get a message to Jesus in real time, that
the Lord, that Lord, that Lord, the one whom you love is sick. The one whom you love is in trouble. The one whom you love is at mold and needs some money for some food. Thank God for the sisters who got the deathful relationship that rather than giving up, they are reaching up and reaching out to send a message that the one Jesus whom you love needs you right now. As I close, the message here today is that sometimes being loved is not enough in the manner in which we are accustomed to. There are times in our lives that we lack the capacity, the power, the energy, the resources to change anything going on in the lives of the one we love. The sickness of Lazarus was no doubt very serious and very grave. His sickness was not misinformation. It wasn't a misdiagnosis. In fact, based on the timeline, by the time the message was received by Jesus, Lazarus was already dead. Lazarus, if you will, was dead on arrival. And Martha and Mary had no power within themselves to change the circumstances of life, and certainly could not change the consequences of sin and death. But thank God, hallelujah, thank God, thank God, thank God, glory, hallelujah, for a therefore relationship that led them to send a message to Jesus, a prayer to Jesus, a speak to the mountain, debris of life, if you will, and cast it into the sea. Removal process for our good, hallelujah, and his glory. And I can hear Jesus say, in blessed assurance and full confidence to each of us at this very moment, that in spite of what we are going through, that this situation, this unpaid bill that is past due, this unhappiness, this lack of appreciation, this rudism, this racism, this sexism, this classism, this religious ism, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God, hallelujah, might be glorified thereby. Hallelujah. Christ is extending an invitation to each of us to just to let go and let God work through us and through others to work out our own salvation in Christ. Today, if you are hearing his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't shut him out. Don't close the door on God. Don't turn your back on God. Let him in. Let the Holy Spirit usher you into a greater, therefore, relationship. Let us pray.